Hey, got milk? Buckle up and grab a beverage. It's time for another fun-filled, action-packed episode of Male Encounters of the Life Kind. And now, to Den and Caven. I mean, what? Somebody cut me off. I mean, now to David and Ken.
You know, Estella is going to be here on Easter weekend, I think.
Is she?
Yeah, and this one comes out around that time. But, yeah, she'll be here Easter weekend.
She's cool.
Yeah, I love Estella.
Yeah.
All right, so, you know, Ken, it is really nice to see another show down the pike. I want to say we're recording at our recording home is Traeger's. And I want to remind everybody, we'll get this out of the way right up front. Singo every Wednesday night. Trivia on Thursday nights. They open up at 4 o'clock. And then they're open Wednesday through Saturday. Wednesday and Thursday, they're open from 4 to 11. And then Friday and Saturday, they're open 4 to midnight. And they also have the wonderful upstairs. If you if you need a private party, they'll do that, typically just on Fridays and Saturdays. Now, I don't know that we discussed the doghouse much last time, but the doghouse...
No, I don't think we did.
Got some great hot dogs out there.
Yeah.
Sliders, wings...
You know, they have an open sign hanging right now.
Do they?
That's new.
It's time to go eat.
It says open.
Open. You know, I'm the kind of guy that stands out there in front of that thing. I'm sure you've seen the movie or something. Or it's a commercial. It's open.
Open. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, we do invite you to check them out, especially if you live in the area. If you're passing through, man, it's a great place just to come and hang out. You know, it has that... Would you say the old tavern feel? Is that, would you?
I wouldn't say old tavern, no.
New tavern, modernized tavern.
Yeah, yuppie tavern, but the crowd isn't yuppie.
No, it's not yuppie. They're pretty down to earth. I meant in an old way, like O-L apostrophe, old tavern, the old tavern type.
I still have a certain view of that.
Okay, well, never
where
mind
Where it's
then.
Like... plaster walls with timbers in the you would see in England.
I get it.
Ye old tavern. Yeah.
Ye old tavern.
No, this place is super cool. They got like super cool lights, neons, and pool table and very cute girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love our bartender Nancy. And then, of course, Celeste, one of the managers, good people, too. Scott, great. They're just great folks.
Yeah, they are.
They're hometown folk. That's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk about something we kind of touched base with even off mic, but needles.
Needles.
Going to the doctor.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
I don't do that.
Okay, well.
All right. We're done. Good show.
So you even freak out just talking about it. Okay, on to the next. That's the shortest show we've ever done. Maybe we can get in the Guinness Book of World Records. Let's kill it now.
Right. That would be hilarious if we actually did that. It would be a 3-minute show.
Yeah.
There you go. Done.
I was, and you know, I'm a big feller too, but I was deathly afraid. I hated needles.
Yeah.
Absolutely hated being poked, you know, going to get my, and when I was in Phoenix, I think it was, and I was having issues, right? And, so go to the doctor, they're going to take blood, and they would always lay me down, right? Always lay me down, take the blood, because... Yeah. First couple of times I had it done, I passed out.
Yeah.
You know, just literally passed out.
Yeah.
And so I'm in Phoenix, right? And I'm sitting on the side of the bed, and the nurse comes in and says, the doctor wants to take some blood. And I'm like, okay, I don't have a problem with that, but I'm going to tell you probably better lay me down first.
Yeah.
And she starts laughing. She goes, okay, I'll lay you down. So she laid me down. She took the blood. She was very good at it, too. And as she left, she goes, she's laughing out in the hall. I could hear her going, it's always the big ones. It's always. I've also been but since that time, I get my blood taken every year. I really don't have a problem with it. I have even tried to watch them do it now. Just so I could, face in my fear, man. But I was a pincushion when I had the stroke. I was in the hospital, and they come around, they take your blood every 3 or 4 hours, something like that, as often as they can.
Yeah.
But you also have an IV, right? And so I'm fairly used to the new people, two or three times. I've been stuck two or three times just to get one take, one draw, as they call it, a draw.
Right.
So, and I try to be as nice to all those people because, my fate is in their hands.
Right.
I want to get out of there as soon as possible. So whatever they want me to do, if they want me to bend over and spread my cheeks, man, I'm bending over and spreading them wide. Get as far up that canal as you can. Give me home, But this one, apparently she was fairly new. And so she comes in and she sticks me 6 times in the right arm and never gets a vein. And the last few times I could hear her go, oops. Oh, and then, I could tell every time she didn't catch a vein. So I'm looking the other way and I'm thinking, oh my God. So she comes around to the other side. She sticks it in there 3 times and still doesn't hit a vein. And I go ballistic. I'm like pissed off at this point. I'm like, you don't have any earthly idea what the F you're doing. I mean, I went off. And I never get mad at the healthcare people ever.
Oh, I do.
But I was ballistic. So the nurse that I had happened to be a male nurse at that time. And this is like 2-3 o'clock in the morning, right? Because they were coming around every so many hours taking as often as they could take blood, they would come around and take blood.
Yeah.
And he comes running around the corner. What's wrong, Dave? What's wrong? I said, she cannot find the... Well, he gets pissed, and he runs her out. And first, I said, she has stuck me 8 times, and he gets ballistic. He goes ballistic. You're not supposed to stick more than 3 times and get help after that.
Yeah.
He reads her the right... I can hear him out in the hall reading her the right act. Right? I'm there going, okay, vindicated. I'm vindicated.
Yeah.
So he comes in there and he goes, hey, don't worry. I'll take your blood the rest of my shift. I'll make sure that this doesn't happen again. I'll make a note up there. And I said, I can handle it. I understand him being new, but that was more than I... And in the middle of the night, I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are coming around, moving me around, make sure I'm all right. Wake me up, say, are you okay? You're like, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, he first stick... Down the road we go. Now, I will tell you, I've got to go for a blood draw again.
Yeah.
So it's my yearly exam. And I will tell you that the best thing you can do for those people taking your blood is make sure you're hydrated the day before, the night before you go in.
Yeah.
The more water you have in your system, your veins get bigger, they're easier to find. So there's your tip if you ever have to do it. But trust me, once you've had it done as many times as I've had, it's old hat, I always think back to that nurse going, it's always the big ones. It's always, and I told her, I said, yeah, you can come at me with a knife or a gun, man. I ain't gonna falter, but you come at me a small little nurse with a needle, I'm gonna fold like a pancake. So I want to know, I want this story shared, if you will share it.
Yeah.
Because I heard you telling Carrie about it, our new female encounter host, about your little toe.
Yeah.
I've never seen a toe broke like that.
Right.
And you didn't get pictures.
So let's see if we can do a build up too. When I was a little kid, of course, I was afraid of needles. So afraid of needles that regardless, and I didn't go to the doctor much, like not much at all. Because I hardly ever got sick. And so it wasn't like I was going in all the time, and that's the reason why. It's just I don't freaking like them. I don't like needles. I just don't like them. And so afraid of that every single night of my little childhood life, as I was falling asleep, I would play out this recurring nightmare.
Oh my God.
On my walls
of
a doctor in a doctor's coat, a lab coat, and needles and evil laughter. And it was just, it was terrifying. And so, every night while I was a kid, every single night. And I rarely went to the doctor. Like once every 5 years, I went to the doctor. But every night I would have that damn thing. And so, super afraid of needles. So then I go in the Air Force. It's mandatory. You got to get stuck. And so then I'm getting deployed to Desert Storm.
That's why I can't believe you don't get, we're still afraid of needles.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And so I'm getting deployed, and they have to give you a gamma globulin shot.
which is real thick.
Yeah, GG shot. Yeah, they keep that shit refrigerated. It's like a gel. And so they stick you, and then they rotate the needle.
Do they put it in your hip or in your arm?
Your hip.
Yeah.
They rotate that needle to spread it around so you don't have this big lump of shit in there. And so it takes forever to give you that shot. But I also needed a yellow fever shot. I think it was those two that kind of cancel like half of their life out. They're supposed to last a certain amount of time, but you get those two together and it halves the time.
Right.
I think they're supposed to last like 6 months or something. I was over there for 7, but at 3 months, I was supposed to go back and get those shots again.
And you didn't do it.
Oh, hell no. So I got really adept at lying my ass off for the mandatory shit that I was supposed to do. So I didn't do it. And it was early to mid-90s, I stopped getting the flu shot. That's the tiniest, easiest shot you could probably ever get.
Yeah, I agree.
I can't do that. I can't do it. So I stopped getting the flu shot. Coincidentally, or not, that was actually the last time I ever had the flu.
Wow.
So every single year, about a week,
things that make you go,
a week to 2 weeks after I would get the flu shot, I would get the flu. And when I stopped getting the shot, I have not had the flu since mid-90s.
Wow.
Not once. Not a single time. No flu. No flu shot.
I don't know. If you ever got COVID, I think you might want to get the shot. I don't know. Maybe not.
No, I did have it. I had.
Oh, did you get COVID?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
that's right.
It.
I remember.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so anyway, this is all the buildup stuff on how I just don't deal with needles. I don't do shots. So I'm in Virginia. I'm still in the Air Force. We're supposed to run out to, I think, our friend's kid's soccer game or some shit. And we're all in the house and like, hurry up. We got to go. And I'm trying to get ready. I'm like, hold on. And so I don't have my shoes on yet. I go running into the bathroom. You know how when you open a door into a room and it has the edge of the door
sticks
is still
out, yeah,
sticking out from the door jamb?
Right.
My little toe, as I was blasting into that room, caught the edge of that door.
This is going to make my eyes water
but
again.
But my body or my foot did not stop. It just kept going. So it snapped my little toe in half. And my toe was sticking out from my foot 90 degrees, just sticking out the side. I was like, oh, my God. And so we load up like, well, shit. All right. We're not going to the soccer game. So load up in the car. We run. We were in like an off base housing kind of close to an off base housing kind of situation. So we're living off base. But I ran to the base that was nearby, the base fire department, and was like, we just rolled up in the car and like honked trying to get them out there because I didn't want to get out and walk. It was hurting. I tried moving that thing, putting it back into
place
myself, and it didn't work. I was like, oh, so, it's not working.
So, you're thinking about going to the fire department. There's got to be somebody there, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, they have like some... This is
paramedics
not,
or
this
something.
This is not a major medical issue. This right. is like a pretty basic thing. Hopefully they can help me out and just stick my toe back where it's supposed to be. It's
a couple of big guys with nothing else, right?
Right?
Pair of pliers,
so
a couple
I go rolling
big guys
in there, and I hang my foot out of the car as I'm explaining. I'm like, hey, I got a problem here. Can you fix this? And they're like, oh, my God, dude, seriously. They're calling all the guys out. You have to come see this. And they're all pointing like, holy shit. Like, you have to go to the doctor, man. We can't do anything for that. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't want to go to the doctor. Okay, so I had to go to the ER. So we go rolling into the ER. They stick me in a room, and this nurse keeps coming and checking. You know how ERs go. It takes forever to see
before.
A freaking doctor. And so, especially when it's not life-threatening. It was just a simple thing.
Right.
And so
they're handling all the life-threatening
stuff. Yeah, they're handling serious stuff, and I'm there with my toe with a foot with a toe sticking out the side. And so this nurse keeps coming in, and she's like, okay, the doctor's going to be in soon, and basically what we're going to do is we're going to give you a shot, and then we're going to have to reset that for you, and then we'll just tape it up. And I was like, all right, let's, all sounds good except for the shot. You ain't giving me a shot in my foot. That ain't happening. So how about you just grab that thing and fix it, and I tromp my butt out of here. And she's like, no, we have to give you the shot. And so I kept sending her away, like, screw you, that ain't happening.
I ain't taking the shot.
And so she came back like four times trying to convince me to get the shot. And she kept escalating, trying to scare me. Like, okay, but if we don't give you the shot, you're going to feel all of this. And what's going to happen is that doctor's going to have to grab that toe, and he's going to start pulling on it and yanking on it and moving it around. And you're going to feel those bones grinding against each other. And as he's trying to find the right place to set it, and you're going to hear it, like all of this.
And you're like, get after it.
And I'm like, awesome, do that. Don't give me a shot, man. Let's do this. And so she finally gave up, and she went and got the doctor. And he walked in, took one look at me, and he goes, I'm not setting that without a shot. And he walked out. I didn't even have a time. Like, he didn't try to convince me. He was just like, you're shit out of luck without a shot. And he walked out of the room. I'm like, what the? Damn it, man. And so I had to get a freaking shot in my foot so they could set my toe. So anyway, did that. And the last time I went to the dentist, I was doing the same thing. We were just having that conversation off mic that dentist needles are the worst needles. They're so bad. There are a couple of exceptions to that, but dentist needles are these big stainless steel needles that's coming at your face. Like, that's just not natural. And they stick it, and they leave it in there for the longest time, like just slowly squirting stuff in there. I'm like, oh my God. So anyway, I would always...
But you only feel the initial pinch, I would think.
It's not it. The needle itself, I can deal with pain. Pain's not it. I was willing to let them just dig around with my toe. Like, the pain is not an issue. It's the needle. It's a psychological thing. And so... I used to, when I would go to the dentist, and I don't ever go to the dentist, but on the rare occasion I would have to go to the dentist, I would tell them, okay, here's the thing. I'm a big baby. I'm afraid of needles, deathly afraid of needles. But Novocaine does not work on me, so I'm going to need you. Knowing that I cannot stand needles and you have the worst needles of anybody, I need you to give me more Novocaine than you think I can handle. And it still would never work. And so...
Really?
Yeah, I would give them that speech all the time. So I was... The last time I had to go to the dentist, I was doing the same thing. I was giving him that. And he's like, dude, we'll just do a conscious sedation. I was like, what is that? He goes, we just bring you in. We hook you up to an IV and we sedate you. You don't... You're not fully sedated. You're still conscious. You're still awake. You'll still know what's going on. But you probably won't remember it, and you won't care. So I'm like, okay, that all sounds great, except for the IV part. Are you right. Not hearing me? No needles. And so, so it gave me this tiny, I don't even know what it was. It was a tiny little pink pill that I was supposed to take at the house on the drive to the dentist.
Yeah,
so by the time I showed up at the dentist's office, I was a slobbering mess. I was a mess. I was so loopy. I don't remember them. I remember them going through the process of sticking me with an IV, but I don't remember feeling it or being stressed out about it. And then...
This is that Seinfeld episode. They had their way with you.
Yeah, really? They're drilling on me. They're doing all... I remember bits and pieces of that experience. But I do... The one thing I do remember is he kept telling me to wake up. Because there I am, you know, laid back in a dentist chair, mouth wide open, propped open with a car jack or whatever the hell they've got going there. And apparently
you're a walking commercial for a dentist. You're anti-dentite.
Apparently I kept snoring. So he would like nudge me. He's like, hey, wake up. I'm like, huh? What? What's happening right now? So, yeah, that's the only way I will do the dentist. You have to drug me beyond knowing my name so I can go in so you can stick me with an IV so I won't care. Do what you want. I won't care.
I'm gonna record that, download that sound clip from Seinfeld where Kramer goes, you're a rabid anti-dentite.
Yes, the dentist on there. It was I forgot his name. Bryan Cranston. It was Bryan. You remember that?
Yes,
on Standby. It was Bryan Cranston who was the dentist. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that stuck out in your mind because you can't stand dentists.
Oh no,
doctors. Or
no, I don't do either one of them. No.
So you probably would never do heroin or smack or anything.
God, no. Keeps me clear away from drugs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly can relate to that, honestly. But there comes a time when you decide whether you want to live or live longer.
Right.
Or not take a shot. You know,
right?
So, yeah, that's where it came for me. But
I mean, luckily, I haven't had any major health issues, like none, and I hardly ever get sick. And so, I don't have a doctor because I don't go to one.
Yeah.
I don't have a dentist because I don't go to one. And so, it's just when the occasional emergency comes up, you know.
You know, it's funny because I'm seeing a nurse practitioner. I think that's what she is. And I like her a lot, but,
yeah.
You know, it's one of those kind of things where, every 6 months is my when I have my checkup, because of my age,
yeah.
Because of my health conditions, because I've had issues in the past. That's one of the guys from Desert River Guides right there. He's been on the show. As a matter of fact, he plays ukulele. He's got a recording deal. He's got a website. Can't remember his name now. Feel bad. But anyway, so I go and I get it all done. But here's the deal. And I'm sitting talking to her, right?
Yeah.
And so I want my medicine. Typically, I'm going to try to shorten this because it's long drawn out. But typically, my medicine renews every 6 months.
Yeah.
Before that, I was getting it. It didn't matter. It just automatically renewed it. And I was going to the doctor. I mean, I went to the doctor. I never missed a doctor's appointment. The only time I ever missed a doctor's appointment is I got stuck out of town. And I was there as soon as I could get there once I got back. And the other one was sick.
Right.
So I called and canceled and said, but set me up the next appointment I'll be in. Because I don't think it's a good idea that I come down there now. So I'm explaining this to her as nicely as I can. Right, because she kind of holds my, holds the prescription pad.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I hate having to wonder whether I'm going to have my life-saving medication.
Right.
Because the last time I went off of it for a couple of weeks, I had a stroke. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go through that again.
Right.
So I'm being as nice and diplomatic because, you know, I don't want her...
Right.
Sticking something foreign upside me.
Right.
When we do the anal exam. But anyway, she's very, she's diplomatic as well. And she goes, before you weren't on Medicare. So because of my age now, I have Medicare
right.
and a Medicare supplement.
Right.
Which is great stuff. Arthur, how's it going, man? Good. And... So she says, they won't let me do that. She goes, they want to make sure you come in. I said, well, you know, I said, look at my records. I've been in all the time. She goes, I know. And she goes, I can see that. She's got kind of, I think she's Filipino. She's got kind of that funky accent, right?
Right.
She's trying to be as diplomatic as
sure.
I am. You
know? Right.
She goes, yeah. but no, you must come in. And I'm
yeah.
like, okay, well, she goes, legally, I cannot do that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I don't want to put your job in jeopardy.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why now I have to jump through 50 million hoops when I'm already doing that.
Right.
I also said, I realize you have patients that don't ever come in for their exams, or they're constantly canceling and moving forward. If you'll look at my record,
yeah.
I have not ever missed one except two exceptions.
Yeah.
Two exceptions, and I've been coming here for 10 years.
Yeah.
You look at it and tell me.
Yeah.
She goes, I see you have an excellent attendance record. Yeah. So, but But, and you know, that's the doctor. She never gives me a shot either, but I've gotten flu shots from them there. They're always real nice. I have not had blood taken there because they have a lab that's separate. So I go to the lab to get that done, and I've got to get that done too, you know.
Right.
But you have to fast for at least 12 hours before you go in.
And yeah.
So I like to do it in the mornings, you know, after when I get up and go get it done. But I want them to know I have some kind of condition with my blood too. It's thick. It's thicker than most people's blood. And she called it something, but she explained it to me. It's thick, so we need to keep an eye on it, make sure it doesn't get too thick.
Otherwise, is it syrup because you're so sweet?
I think it's sap because I'm so sappy.
You're a wise old oak.
That's right. Too bad it's not maple because I love maple.
Right?
But I'm just going to tell you, Ken, you'll eventually have to come to terms with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't wish that on you.
No, I'm creeping up on it. I realize
longer,
it.
I mean, you know, you can go the...
Yeah. We've been having those conversations, Jerry and I, that I also don't have insurance. I'm not employed. I'm self-employed. And I don't go to the doctor, so I don't give a shit about an insurance plan. But I recognize that my age is creeping up on me.
Yeah.
And those things are going to start changing
pretty
rapidly. But I have the VA option. The kicker is I need to go through the process of getting me in the system. I started that process. I started that process when I worked at the city, and I was pissed because I didn't want to pay into the insurance. Because I don't ever use it, and I will never use it. And theirs has such a high deductible that for random or routine stuff, I would end up always paying on my own because I would never meet the deductible.
Right.
And so I was pissed that I had to pay into the insurance program, and I wanted to opt out. But I couldn't do that without another insurance solution. And so I was going to try it, and I don't know if I still could have done it or not, but I thought, all right, fine, I'm going to go to the VA. I'm going to get myself in the system. And so I went down there, and I was like, hey, I don't ever go to the doctor. I want to get on your guys' system because I don't go to the doctor. They're like, awesome. Okay, we just need to schedule to come into the thing. And so I had to go in for a doctor's appointment and go through a checkup. And they're like, awesome. All right, come back next week, and we're going to – I'm like, really? All right. And so I came back the next week.
Feel like it's
and they're like, okay, come back next week and we're going to do this. And I'm like, really? And so I had to come back the next week. And then the next one, they scheduled me for blood work. I'd been in there three times, which is three times longer than I'd been in the doctor's in years, like probably 10 years. And so I was like, and the next one was blood work. And I was like, ah, needles. And the fourth time, no. We're not doing this, no. And I opted out. So I'm partway in the system. I'm in the system enough to where I don't have to pay penalties or if they're still doing that for taxes for not having insurance.
Right.
I don't have to do that. So they send me, the VA sends me a letter every year saying, here's your thing for taxes. You don't have to worry about it. But I don't have a card and I can't just drop in there and like get stuff taken care of. So that's the conversation Jerry and I have been having lately is, okay, I need to bite my lip and walk my little butt in there, tuck my tail, and go do the appointments. What I don't want
is... It's time to man up.
I've manned up in that I suck it up and don't go to the doctor.
Aren't you funny?
Yeah. Anyway, I need to do that. I recognize my age is creeping up on me and I gotta get it done.
You gotta do it. You wanna be here. You've been visiting that grandkid now? You got reattached to your son, right?
Yeah.
So, and you wanna spend as much. That's what I noticed when I went to Phoenix. You know, spending time with my kids again.
Yeah.
One to one basis, all those grandkids. I got another boy that I may have another more grandkids before my life ends. I want to make sure I'm here. And you know, when you get to playing and messing with them.
Oh man, grandkids are the best.
So, trust me, you don't do it for yourself.
I'm not going to do checkups.
Do it for Jerry.
I just want a medical system that I can rely on.
I get you.
But I am not doing checkups. I'm not.
You might have to.
I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna do it. Because it's bullshit. They're just gonna put me in there and like poke and prod at me and put things in my brain that I don't want in my brain. Here's the thing is I don't ever have those things in my brain and nothing ever happens. I'm fine. Yeah. Like nothing ever happens.
And you know what? And my prayer for you is it never does.
Yeah.
But you know.
But age
does have something to do with it.
Messes with the percents, the percentiles, the chances that something will happen.
Start going up.
Yeah.
I get it.
So that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Is recognizing that very clear fact.
You know, I still have my tonsils. I still have my appendix. Too. I still have all of that stuff that a lot of people, you know, and my youngest boy had to have his appendix out when he was still in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
what
I busted
hell?
On him. He came over to the house. He's like, I got a major stomach ache, and he's holding his side. He's carrying on. I'm like,
that's scary.
And his mom thinks he's faking, you know, so that's why he came to my house.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm like, you can tell when you look at your kid, you can tell they're suffering. You
right.
Know, you can tell.
Yeah.
So I call her. I said, I'm taking him to the ER. There's something wrong with him. There's something wrong. I don't know what it is, but I don't know. And she's like, okay, well, come by to the house first. I'm like, all right. But make it quick. We need to get him down there. I mean, this is not good.
Yeah.
So we did get him in there, you know, and sure enough, it was his appendix.
Wow.
You know? He was cute, though. It was his first time, too, at the hospital.
How old was he?
He was 17.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... he wanted to go get the x-rays done before, because they offered him, and his surgeon was his old ex-baseball coach.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was cool. He came in and he goes, hey, man, I saw your name. It's so good to see you, man. I haven't seen you forever. How you doing? Blah, blah, blah. He goes,
that's
it doesn't
awesome.
Look like you're doing too good. No, no, no. He goes, we're going to send you in for some x-rays. You want some morphine now or before you go in for x-rays? And he's like, no, I'll suck it up and go in for the x-rays. He gets back into the room. He's like, God, I wish I'd had got the morphine before I went in there.
Yeah.
And the nurse comes in there and gives him the morphine, and he's so cute. He's funny as hell. seeing him on morphine, I keep thinking, yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
I love that feeling.
Yeah.
he's giving me all kinds. He's talking all kinds of shit, man.
Yeah.
I was dating this woman. He leans over the bed. He goes, and his mom's in there, right?
Yeah.
He's like, Dad, I really don't, and he said her name, like her at all. She's not good for you. Her daughter's not good for you. I'm not good for you. And he's like, I mean it, Dad. You know, let me talk to you about this. You're constantly telling me about girls. Let me just tell you.
Because he's basically drunk at that. I mean, that's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
So your drunk son is like, Dad, seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously. I have to tell you this.
The first time I ever had any experience with morphine, my little brother was up here, and we took him skiing when I lived in Louisiana. This was years and years and years ago. He was in college at the time, and he came to visit Linda and I, my first wife. My little brother and I did not have a good relationship at all. None. It was awful.
Yeah.
So we took him out. I don't know whether he was skiing, but he busted his eardrum in the water. Got really bad shape, right? So he won't let me take him to the emergency room, but he'll let my ex take my wife at the time take him. So she takes him because they were good friends. They were really good friends. He gets back and he goes, you know, they gave me morphine. And I said, really? He goes, is it all right? He goes, it still hurts, but I don't give a damn. So obviously you've had morphine too, right?
Yeah, actually the military, anytime you ever had anything wrong, they would give you a huge bottle of, no, it was Motrin. That was Motrin. Motrin pills.
That's a big difference.
No, I think I've had more morphine. Some of those painkillers don't work on me. The last time I had an issue, which was one of the things...
I guarantee you morphine would work.
Yeah, one of the things that woke me up to the possibility that... Well, the idea that I need to start looking into a medical system because I didn't have insurance when I had to go in for a freaking stone, a kidney stone.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Okay,
and so that was the last time.
Those too.
And that was several years ago. But anyway, so I went in there, and they give me a painkiller, and it didn't work. And they give me another one, and it didn't work. And they finally gave me this one, and
it worked.
I didn't know that it worked. I was just happy all of a sudden. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? Yeah, that worked.
Well, the last kidney stone I had was I was with Hayden's mom, my last one. And so I get to the emergency room, right? And I knew it was a kidney stone.
Yeah.
Because I'd had one before, so I knew that's what it was. I think I even drove myself because we were kind of getting on the outs. I think we're about verge of splitting up.
Yeah.
And so I drove myself to the emergency room, and I get in there, and I get in the bed, and they come in, and they're like, yeah, it's a kidney stone. They give me some morphine. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm doing good. Well, then she comes in. My ex comes in, right? And I am just, I'm having a blast. You know? As a matter of fact, the nurse comes in. She goes, you know, you've got a 4-millimeter stone. And I, you know, I don't know. I mean, I said, is that big? She goes, yeah, that's pretty good size. I said, well, I'm going to be able, you're going to be able to pass it. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
So the nurse is still there, right? She comes in the nurse comes in. And Cindy's standing there. And when the nurse came in, it dawned on me, like, so I looked over at my ex and I said, hey, you need to congratulate me. I'm giving birth to a 4-millimeter kidney stone. To a 4-millimeter stone. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, I'm so good. And the nurse says, here, we're going to give you a little bit more morphine. And Cindy goes, no, don't give him any more. He's goopy as hell. And I looked at her. I got all pissed. I said, don't you flip my morphine.
You stand between me and my morphine, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah. Well, I just put her in a huff and she ran out. And the nurse is just standing there smiling. She goes, I don't know that you're going to be married much longer.
Don't care. I need morphine.
Yeah. And I said, well, I think it's about over before this happens.
Yeah.
And the nurse just starts laughing. And I said, you can congratulate me. She goes, right. She goes, okay. I said, are you single?
Oh, my God.
And she starts laughing again. Yeah. And she goes, you know what? I'll give you my number before you leave. And then she looked at me. She goes, you ain't going to remember I said that. But it's going to make me feel good right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, and so I had to be driven home, and of course I got the ride act all the way home. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I think I've gone through three. Two of them I did at the hospital. One I had some morphine left over. I'm not an addictive type other than to food. I'm addicted to food. And they gave me a prescription for morphine when I went home. I took it as long as I needed it, and then I quit. So, you know, it was an old prescription, but I still had it up in the closet. And when the other one started, I thought, let's see if this will work. You know, I don't want to go to the hospital.
Right.
And it did. You know, it worked fine, got me through that last one, got rid of the morphine, and I was good to go.
But,
yeah.
I do. I have an addictive personality, and I know that about me, which is good that I know it.
Sure.
Because things like that. So I think it was actually Oxy is what they gave me.
Yeah, no, I don't want. They gave
and
me
so
I haven't taken any of it. I still have it.
It worked. Like it was good. And so I had some left, and I kept them in case of an emergency.
Right.
But I refused to take them. And so, like I said, it was several years ago, and I came across them, and I was like, yeah, these are old. I should probably get rid of them. And plus, I don't want them around.
Right.
I just don't need them around. And so I ditched them. So, but yeah, I anytime I've had my hands on pain medicine, which has only been two or three times in my life, where I had them at home, I'm like, okay, dude. You know, see, how you are. Leave this alone. Leave it alone.
See, they prescribed when I had my hip done. They gave me. I think 30. The oxycodone.
Holy
maybe
crap.
15, something like that.
Yeah.
I never. They said to take it if I felt like I needed it.
Yeah.
I was so afraid of it.
Yeah.
That I thought, no, I'm not taking it. I'm not. So I still have it. I probably ought to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's probably not good anymore. So.
But yeah, it's I got it locked up so nobody can get into it. You know.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I didn't. I just was. I got through it with Tylenol.
Yeah.
Tylenol and aspirin. I alternated them.
Right.
Yeah, worked. So.
Yeah, I mean, you need it for that. You need an anti-inflammatory. And,
right.
And something to help with the pain. So. Yeah.
Well, Ken, you know what? We've killed 40 minutes of talking about absolutely nothing.
Needles. That's not nothing, David.
Here is my hope for you. And I'm gonna keep you in my thoughts and whatever. But yeah, so if you ever have to face it, I'll be there for you, man. It ain't as bad as you might
think. Drive me away from there as quickly as possible. Listen, as I'm running out of the door. Yeah.
Listen,
thank you.
I know you're a manly man. You're not afraid of guns or knives.
I'm not afraid of anybody or anything except needles.
Yeah.
I used to be afraid of heights. Conquered that.
Yeah.
I was afraid
of
snakes.
I'm still timid with that.
Conquered that one.
Not afraid of snakes.
Never been afraid of spiders. My brother, he was the spider guy.
Yeah,
no, I've conquered all my fears, and there's not a person on this planet that scares me. Nothing, except needles. For whatever reason, that is a really long-standing, traumatizing fear that has been there so long, it's built into my DNA. Yeah.
All right. Last words, man.
Don't get a shot.
Can if you want. Bye, y'all.
Okay, friends, that's it for this week. Don't worry, they'll be back next week thanks to their wonderful sponsors.
Pinyon Hills Dental, located at 4725 Foothills Drive, Farmington, New Mexico.
Francisco's New Mexican Restaurant, featuring New Mexican cuisine.
If you hire Ken Collins Marketing to build your website, people who look for you online will be able to find you.
This program is sole property of InterWest Concepts, all rights reserved. For permission to use any of the programming, contact IntoWestConcepts.com. You're welcome to contact us there for any commentary, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's it for now, until you join us again.
Be excellent to each other.
Always wear your clean underwear.
Like we're, there it is. Oh, they were red.
Yeah.
So, but that's, oh, so it's the muted button. That's
this
more...
is the mute button.
Okay.
This ear button only means can you hear it in the headset. If that's not, I can't hear it in the headset if that's not pushed.
Okay. At first glance, I'm like, there's no difference there, but these two red buttons are not as bright as these red buttons.
Right.
Okay.
Something like that. I don't know.